Martha Wallace skipped along the path that meandered through St. Stephen's Green. She couldn't walk, she simply couldn't. Her heart was too light. It lifted her body with every step, giving her a buoyant gait as if she were walking on clouds. Mrs. Goodwin hurried behind her, with small, brisk steps, struggling to keep up. "My dear, you're racing along. Why don't we find a nice bench and sit down?" she suggested, catching her breath. Martha swung round and began to skip backwards, a few paces in front of her elderly nanny. "I don't think I could sit even for a minute," she laughed with abandon. "To think I came here to find my mother, but I've lost my heart instead. It's too ridiculous, don't you think?" Martha's American accent was in stark contrast to Mrs. Goodwin's clipped English vowels. Her pale Irish skin was flushed on the apples of her cheeks, and her cocoa-coloured eyes shone with excitement. She had taken off her hat and consequently invited the wind to play with her long brown hair. This it did with relish, pulling it from its pins, giving her a wild and reckless look. It was hard for Mrs. Goodwin to believe, watching the 17-year-old girl now dancing in front of her, that only a few hours before she had left the convent of Our Lady Queen of Heaven in tears after having been told that there were no records of her birth to be found and no information about her real mother.
"Now let's not get carried away, Martha dear."
"Goodwin, you're so serious suddenly. When you know, right?"
"You've only just met, and for no more than an hour. I'm only saying it would be prudent to be cautious."
"He's handsome, isn't he? I've never seen such a handsome man. He has the kindest eyes. They're the prettiest grey, and they looked at me so intensely. Am I wrong to think he liked me too?"
"Of course he liked you, Martha dear. You're a lovely girl. He'd be blind if he didn't see how lovely you are."
Martha threw her arms around her old nanny, which took her so much by surprise that she laughed. The girl's ebullience was irresistible.
"And his smile, Goodwin, his smile!" Martha gushed. "It had such mischief in it, such charm. Really, I don't think I've ever seen anyone with such a captivating smile. He's even more handsome than Clark Gable."
To Mrs. Goodwin's relief, she spotted a bench beneath a sturdy horse chestnut tree, and sat down with a sigh, expanding onto the seat like a sponge pudding.
"I must say, they were both very polite," she said, recalling the boy's father, Lord Deverell, with a rush of admiration.
She was flattered that a man of his standing had treated her, a mere nanny, with such politeness and grace. She knew that he had invited them to join their table for tea on account of his son, who had clearly been taken with Martha. But Lord Deverell had extended Mrs. Goodwin every courtesy when he hadn't needed to, and for that the old lady was extremely grateful.
"Lord Deverell is a gentleman in every sense of the word," she added.
"I think I lost my heart the moment he came into the tea room," said Martha, thinking only of the boy.
"He couldn't take his eyes off you. How fortunate that his father took the initiative, otherwise you might never have had the opportunity to meet him."
"Oh, will I ever see him again?"
Martha sighed, wringing her hands.
"Well, he knows where we're staying, and if we delay our trip to London a day, that might give him time to come calling."
"I'm so excited I can't stand still," said Martha, clapping her hands together. "I don't want to go home. I want to stay in Ireland forever."
Mrs. Goodwin smiled at the naivety of youth. How simple life seemed to be in the rosy glow of first love.
"I don't wish to bring you back to Earth, my dear, but we have a mission, do we not?"
This gentle reminder deflated a little of Martha's enthusiasm. She sat down beside Mrs. Goodwin and dropped her shoulders.
"We do," she replied. "You can be sure that nothing will distract me from that."
"Perhaps JP can help us. After all, the aristocracy all seem to know one another."
"No, I don't want to share it with anyone. It's too painful. I couldn't admit that my real mother didn't want me and abandoned me in a convent."
Martha dropped her gaze onto the path as a red squirrel scurried across it and disappeared beneath a laurel.
"I'm only just coming to terms with it myself,"
she said softly, her exuberance now all but dissipated.
"I won't lie to him. I just won't volunteer the truth. As you say, we've known each other no more than an hour. We can hardly expect to bare our souls.
Mrs. Goodwin folded her gloved hands in her lap. Very well. We'll stay in Dublin for another day and then make our way to London. I'm sure we'll be able to find the Rowanhampton family without too much difficulty. There can't be many Lady Rowanhamptons after all.
She put her hand on Martha's and squeezed it.
The fact that the name on Martha's birth certificate was an aristocratic one made their task much easier than if it had been a common name, like Mary Smith. In that case, Mrs. Goodwin wouldn't have known where to start.
No doubt we have a rocky road ahead, she said. We might as well enjoy ourselves before things get serious.
Martha glanced at Mrs. Goodwin and bit her lip. Oh, I do hope he comes calling.